Welcome, everybody, to Mormons on Mushrooms. Just a reminder that this is a storytelling podcast where we discuss alternative methods for healing from trauma and seeking a more fulfilling life. A lot of times on the podcast, we discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health top priority. Lastly, the opinions offered by our guests don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the hosts. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy. What I'm saying is that, like, I don't know anything about sound, like audio engineering, I guess is what I would say, you know? Uh-huh. So like, I've got all these different, fucking speakers and, amps and multi-channel kind of mixers. And like, I'm going to like Google forums and subreddits about audio engineering, trying to figure out, because we've always taken for granted, like, how does this sound happen? Like when we play live, how does multiple microphones and multiple guitars and everything, how does it come out of the speakers? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now that it's just me and you setting this shit up, I'm like, I guess I got to learn sound engineering? Question mark. You know?
Yeah. We've always had people. I mean, the first show we did, we really didn't have much sound at all. I think we were working with one mic, and then, but ever since then, when we were at the clubhouse, they took care of it. When we did something cool on a Friday night, Aaron came and just did it. Dude, all.
That guy is like a wizard. I'm learning more and more about people. Like, I'm trying to solve a calculus problem. Do you know what I mean? I'm like making diagrams and like, oh, this is in, this is out, this is channel one, channel two. Like, I'm trying to figure all this shit out. And it's like, oh, no wonder people have those big ass. I've always seen those big ass like mixer boards and been like, mm-hmm. What does any of that do? Like, what are all those fucking knobs and bells and whistles? Now I'm like, I could use some knobs and bells and whistles.
Oh, that's good that you're learning that, because I mean, I still look at that stuff. It looks like, you know, that you, if you walked into like the cockpit of a plane and they've got every sort of, you know, like what, there's no way these buttons do anything.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, Mike, I still don't know what anything does. However, I'm in that stage where I'm like, oh, I'm aware that these things do actually do something. Like, you know, like my whole life I've seen, you know, when you watch like a documentary about, oh, this is when the Wu-Tang Clan recorded, you know, it's like, what are those guys in the booth doing? What are those studio guys, like the, you know, like the producers, what are they doing? They're just like pushing like those levels up, and they're turning knobs, and they're listening to things on the mic. I'm doing that shit now. I'm at home, like with microphones in, like trying to like blend the microphones. And, oh, this microphone needs to, like, I'm trying to learn all this shit. And it's not going well. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to be Clark Griswold next week when we perform. You know, everything's going to be plugged into different things. It's going to be like sparking and all that kind of shit. But it's going to, I think we're going to make sound. That's what I think is going to happen.
And we're going to have a dramatic moment right before we start where you're trying to connect the power cables together, and just right at the right time, it sparks.
Hallelujah.
And it comes. Yeah. And so what you're saying is we're going to be ready for something chill on a Friday night.
Oh, baby, something chill on a Friday night is happening.
I cannot wait. I don't think I've been this excited for one of our shows before.
Yeah, that's, I mean, same. I'm feeling pretty pumped about it. Like, we got some good shit planned, huh?
Yeah. And it's just going to be a really good night. And I think we're going to have a really good, I just am feeling it. You know, I'm feeling into the energy there that night, and I'm already loving it. So,
same, dude.
Yeah, I can't wait. And been playing a lot of music.
And don't you think that we have a set list, we have a plan. By the way, if you want to join us, please come join us. We got limited space available, but there's still tickets. It's Friday, April 19th. What did we decide? It's doors open at 7:30 p.m. at Infusion Yoga Studio in Bountiful.
Yep.
Music will start at 8:00, and there's just two things. So Tess will open, And then whatever we call ourselves, Flavor Country or Necesito Amigos. I guess the full Necesito Amigos aren't there. So Flavor Country probably.
Yeah, pronounced Flavor Country. But then, you know, like I've done, I have that when I share that name with people and they're like, oh, so like country music.
It's like, I know.
We gotta
get a better band name. Yeah.
I do love the name Flavor Country though, but I just, it's not.
Flavor funny. Country might just be a vibe. Maybe we just got to get a fucking band name for once and for all. So. You know? But we do have like an hour, we have a 90 minute set prepared. And Mike, I got to be honest with you. Like, as far as like being excited and stuff like that, this is the most excited I've been as well. Like I agree with you where, I kind of feel like it would be, it's going to be kind of a real chill. That's why we're calling something chill on a Friday night. But I think it would be really a good idea to be sort of like easing into a very nice altered state of consciousness, right? As we kind of get going, don't you think?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I think people will join us in that vibe with their own stuff, their own cocktails. You know what I mean?
Hey, man. Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're not selling anything there. We're not doing that, but I just mean, people are going to bring their own goodies and whatever.
I don't know even what you're talking about. I'm just talking about people might want to meditate and do some breath work before they get there so that they can be really relaxed. It's going to be a really relaxing experience.
That's what I mean. But I'm not a breath work. I'm not a breath work salesman, nor am I.
Yeah. I don't know how to sell. I don't know how to sell breath work. Like, okay, for $19.99, I will tell you to breathe in and out. It's like, okay, remember you got to live. So you got to keep breathing.
So, you know, this podcast was birthed soon after I did my first holotropic breathwork session.
That's true.
And I had this download in that session. I mean, it was very psychedelic and it was just like this, you need to share your voice. And it's funny. So it was this guided session I did with this woman on, it was during COVID, right? So it was on Zoom. And she gave the recording afterwards. So, you know, you paid whatever amount, you joined all these other people on Zoom. She did this guided breathwork session. It's like 45 minutes. And then I think it was like 30 minutes of breathing and then 15 minutes of like her afterwards just kind of doing it. And for the longest time, whenever I wanted to do a breathwork, I just would replay that thing. But I was getting so sick of the song she was playing, you know, it's like the same ones. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Then I was like, what am I going to do? Do I need to do another session? I'm like, look, Mike, you know how to breathe. You know how to do that.
Yeah, Lamaze breathing.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm like, oh, you've been doing that. Just put on your own music and do it. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, I can do that. So now I just, yeah, I put on a Spotify playlist that I like and I do it. And I think I'm breathing at the right pace. And if I'm not, you know, close enough.
Dude, but I mean, honestly, like joking, like I know we're joking about this, but having said that, I have to confess that there are times when I'm like in deep in some kind of like psychedelic type of thing where I forget about breathing. And then like, what do you know how that feeling where you're like, oh, wait a minute. What about if I just took a breath right now? And you're like, wow, that feels so amazing. I'm so happy to be alive and be breathing, you know?
And it changes everything. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm anxious in this. And you're like, wait, breathe deep into like your lower chakras, like down low. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, my nervous system is calming down. I'm feeling regulated. Like,
maybe I am going to be okay, actually. Yeah. You know, I'm like, wait a minute here. I didn't realize I could ever be fine, but here I am breathing.
I mean, here we are as humans inventing so many different modalities and stuff and therapy and, you know, like trying to understand the human psyche when it all comes down to, are you remembering to breathe?
Honestly, dude, it does come down to that, right? It comes down to like, okay, wait a minute here. Like, remember, you're human. So here's a couple of like guidelines. Mm-hmm. You should sleep when you're tired. Like, make sure your body is well rested. Breathe, hydrate, and move your body. Like, it's like, oh yeah, oh okay. I should do those four basic things, and I probably will be okay. Meanwhile, we're like, you and me are like, I've got anxiety and I'm depressed all the time, and things are always giving me like fucking the blues, and I'm at work stressed. And it's like, but are you breathing, sleeping, hydrating, and moving your body? It's like, oh yeah, yeah, good point. I'll probably try to remember to do that.
No, I know. You know, we did that one episode where we were talking about Apes Fine, and we had those like t-shirts, yeah, those tank tops.
I still wear my Apes Fine tank top all the time.
Same. It's my favorite tank top I've ever owned. So I talked about this in that last episode with Stephanie, but you know, my daughter got in a bike accident and she's fine, by the way, but she did break her arm and her jaw, and it wasn't great. Eesh. And we were at the hospital. It's like 1 a.m. that night. But, you know, for better or worse, synchronistically, a friend of mine was also like in the ER with her son earlier that day. And oh. she had given me like these pointers, not knowing that, I mean, I was going to be joining her. But like also in the ER. She had kind of shared some advice of like, she was there and she was like, I need to calm my nervous system. She had that kind of that hit of like, you know, wanting to, you know, you see your kids in like going through something. And as parents, we desperately want to like intervene and help. And, or it not even just kids, like a friend going through a hard time. And we get into like our own dysregulation of our nervous system in our attempt to calm the other person down. But it comes back to that like oxygen mask thing, like put the oxygen mask on yourself. And she shared the story about as soon as she started just focusing on calming her own nervous system and breathing and regulating, how, you know, co-regulation as apes, mm-hmm. like we're used to co-regulating together. And I think we can sense when like a nervous system, you know, through mirror neurons or whatever the vibe is, if we talk about energetics, we're probably picking up an energy from someone, but whatever it is, we gravitate to people with a regulated nervous system and they make us feel calmer.
Yeah.
And so if we think about that, like when we're with our kids or we're with people and they're having a hard time and we're feeling anxious, it's like, just center, take a deep breath, remember to breathe, regulate your own nervous system, put your own oxygen mask on. Now you're actually in an ability to help, but you might not even need to. Just the fact of you calming your nervous system might be enough for them to calm theirs.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I honestly, I know this is like kids stuff as far as like, you and I keep coming back to square one with this shit. You know, you'd think at some point we'd learn and we'd try to like progress and be enlightened and stuff like that. But like literally, when I'm like almost through the roof and I want to vent to you or I'm feeling stressed or whatever it is, I can actually like, if I take 10 deep breaths, a drink of water and stretch out, like do a little bit of just like, on the spot yoga, stretching type of thing. It's amazing how much clearer I feel or how much better I feel. Like it's fucking weird. Also, like, I've been really horny lately. The fifth thing I would add to that is like, just beat off. Like I make good decisions after I've had a drink of water, had a little bit of a good night's sleep. If I'm breathing, if I'm moving my body, and specifically if I'm moving my body in a very specific motion. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the sex, because I think that's something especially we negate or don't think it's as big of a need as it is. Like it's a huge biological need that we have as apes. And, you know, I just started my classes again last week, and one of them is like basically back to Freud kind of class. And I was resisting it because I was like, oh man, we have to go into Freud, because I'm drawn to Jung and like the symbols and dreams and, you know, the imagination. But I have to hand it to Freud. There's value in how he saw through the, like, to our primal id instincts.
Yeah.
And how much they drive us and how much our psychology is based on this primal urge to fuck and create, you know, which is, and it come from that energetic signature of the Big Bang, of the Om, of the creation of sex, of wanting to penetrate and create, and that urge drives. So, and so there's so much value in like, okay, let's talk about this urge that we all feel and that we've all tried to control. So, and shame and control and suppress our whole
life. It's such a good point, because like the like Oedipus, you know, like we talk about Oedipus and sort of that, like, you know, Freud is sort of the father of, am I saying it? I'm having like a brain freeze here. Oedipal syndrome or?
Yeah, Oedipus, like complex Oedipus.
Oedipus complex, right? Mm-hmm. For some reason, I have the word Oedipal in my mind.
Oh, yeah. That's also a word. Yeah, Oedipal. Yeah.
But the story of Oedipus is not about just like, some sick, like weird, you know, bullshit from Homer. It's like we all want to feel, there's a reason he has sex with his mother. It's because we all want to feel caretaken. We all want to, we all have sexual desires, and we all want to feel validated and not powerless. And that's what the, like your father, like the father archetype is a representation of power. And in the shadow of the father, you feel powerless, right? And then the mother is the, is that representation of care, caregiving, caretaking. And so it's like, I get it, Freud, you know, let's not be blaming mom and dad for everything here. But also, I mean, homeboy wasn't like just barking up the wrong tree either, right?
No, he was. And, you know, I always like think of Freud of like he's expressing more of his psychology, you know.
Right, yeah.
But so is every psychologist.
Right, so is Jung. So, yes.
And as a Western man, repressed in the Victorian kind of the end of the Victorian kind of era, like he, I mean, that's not Victorian or whatever, but the legacy of it, whatever his, I don't know what the era is actually, but like,
yeah, man. I mean, listen, if it's not Tay Swift era's tour, I don't give a fuck what era it is.
It was before Taylor Swift eras.
It was before Taylor Swift was born, everybody. What? Who cares?
So he, yeah. So a lot of his psychology is reflecting our modern psychology. And so he's not wrong about it. And I know, you know, Stephanie, I hit on this last week, but when we talked about Poor Things, and you saw Poor Things, right?
Yeah. Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Yes, I did see.
Oh, I'm just saying that I love the shamelessness of her. Like when she's, finding out that she can masturbate and just wants to do it all the time and do it at the dinner table. And then when she goes and has sex with this guy and this other love interest is interested in her, and he's appalled by the fact that she's had sex with this other guy. And she's like, well, why aren't we all doing this? Why aren't we all doing this all the time? It feels so good.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of paths to go down here. First of all, that episode with you and Stephanie was so beautiful. Like, it was so cathartic for me to listen to. You know, every once in a while, it's a good reminder that it's just nice to have some people to listen to. I've gotten out of the habit of listening back to our episodes, but listening to the one with you and Stephanie was, I don't know, man. It made me feel like I was being wrapped up in a warm hug. It made me feel like I was sitting in a cozy little living room listening to you chat, you know, as I was kind of like just part of the conversation. So kudos for that. That was such a great episode. I really loved listening.
She is
amazing, and you're amazing. So you can deflect it to all Stephanie, which is fine by me. I love her, and I think that she's so wise. Like, she is so wise and so what's the word I'm looking for here? She's so open and vulnerable and like not perfected. Do you know what I mean? And flamboyantly imperfect. And it makes her so attractive. You know what I mean? She's so cool. But deflecting to Stephanie aside, also, Mike, it's weird for me listening to a conversation that I'm not a part of where you're in it, because I'm listening to it's that experience where I get to hear, oh yeah, geez, Mike is really like learning a lot of things, expressing a lot of things, being vulnerable, being wise, talking about the shit that like is impacting his life. Dude, it was a fucking trip. Thank you for that episode. Thank you a lot.
Thank you for listening. And it's interesting with you listening, because you know the story that I wasn't going to share. You know that story.
Bro, that story someday has to come out, right? Like that.
It will come out. Yeah. But it wasn't the right place. And plus, you have to be there when I share that story.
Yeah, I agree. I full blown agree, because first of all, both you and Stephanie are talking about, you're talking circles around these stories that are, in the scheme of things, nothing. Like, no, like there's such big stories to the two of you. And maybe I'm admitting something about myself here, like about what a piece of shit I am, but like, those stories are like me watching a fucking Disney movie. Like, it's like, oh, they're just so cute. Like, they're so cute and it's fun and I love them so much. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, bro, if they're feeling bad about these stories, you need to do a hard, deep look at yourself.
No, I mean, I get what you're saying with that, but I think there's also the, like, just, and I think a lot of ex-Mormons can relate on different levels, the, just the guilt complexes and the various levels and dimensions of guilt, and how it's like, a lot of what I did as a Mormon was just to try to not feel guilty. And so, and that came at different levels for different things, where some things it's like, I should have felt probably guiltier about and didn't. And other, most things I felt way too much guilt, like tremendous amounts of guilt over things that don't deserve any guilt at all.
No, not at all. And also our self-perpetuating sort of cycles, right? Like, I was thinking a lot about that recently. You know, it's like an easy, it's like an easy analogy to be like, well, you know, in certain cultures, you know, women have to hide their faces, cover their arms, cover, you know, down to their ankles and stuff like that. So it's like the joke of, oh, wow, like the forbidden is the thing I am most interested in. So like seeing a woman's ankle in certain cultures would be like, wow, man, that's like the hottest fucking thing I could ever think of in my life. You know, where for us, it's just, it's like, I'm not, I don't feel guilty, nor do I feel anything seeing a woman's ankles. Right.
Yeah.
But I also think about things that I really do and have felt guilty about in the past. That I don't. Here's a story. Can I tell, dude? It's been a while since I've told a masturbation story, so I'm going to tell a masturbation story.
I'm so glad we're telling masturbation stories. We got to get back to our bread and butter, man.
Yeah, that's. I mean, listen, man. Let's get back to the foundational principles of this podcast. You know.
Yeah.
So. At the time I was still deeply ensconced in my Mormon identity. I was working a job that I hated for like a big kind of corporation, you know, that's about as much information.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So that this is the days when I was working for a big old juicy corporation and it was pre, like smartphones. Like I had a cell phone, like I had a flip phone and I had access to the internet at work, but it wasn't like I didn't have the world at my fingertips on my phone. You know what I mean? My phone was like T9 texting and like the blue, like the glowing blue screen that, you know, turns out was so terrible for our eyes and all that kind of stuff.
So I
used to at the office. And keep in mind, I did not have like, it wasn't one of these situations where I had like an office and a printer. I sat in a cubicle and used the like communal printer, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I used to go to like one of these, like the written word, erotica, sexy sort of like storytelling websites that was all text. And I would copy the text from a couple of stories, print it onto or paste it onto a Word document, and then print it out at the office. Okay. and then this is not a single instance story that I'm telling. So this doesn't have the nuance and beauty of like a specific time. This is a thing that I did frequently. Where I would print this shit off and then I would roll it up. Like I'd, you know, it would be like 8 to 10 printed pages. Cause I would print off a few stories so that I had some, you know, juice for the week. Yeah. And I would roll it up the way you'd like roll up a newspaper and put it down. I had to wear like a suit and tie in those days. And so I would put it down the front of my pants, this rolled up fucking stack of papers. As if I had like the most enormous, you know, boner kind of thing, like rolled up and sticking up. And then I would go to the bathroom and sit there as if I was taking a shit and read these stories and jerk off. I have to admit to something here, when it came time like for the show, like when it was time to pop, I would turn around and sort of like do like a like an air squat in the stall and jerk off into the toilet. You know,
the logistics of jerking off into a toilet. I thought, yeah,
dude, I've never been. I'm going to tell you right now, like you, I can go for a run. I can go on a hike. I can lift weights. I can go to yoga. I have never been as nimble and acrobatic as I've had to be when I'm trying to stealthy beat off. And so like literally I would turn and squat and like stick my butt towards the back, like towards the door so that I could like get the angle right and fucking jizz into the toilet tank. It was the grossest, like thinking about it now, I'm like, okay, bro, that's a little bit deprived. Like that's a little, it's a little grody. Like I can't even imagine doing that right now. I just don't, I guess maybe I'm older or I'm less horny, but also a big part of it is, I mean, I'm still pretty fucking horny, but a big part of it is I'm not in the workplace trying to sneak any sort of like, oh, I just want to feel alive for like 12 minutes. I'm not, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I know exactly what I mean. And it gets back to what we're talking about with like Freud, right? It's like that impulse that we shame is the basis, could be the basis for like all of our actions at like at the, I mean, in Freud's theory, it is in Freud's theory that sexual impulse is the basis for everything.
Drives everything we do.
Yeah. So even you like that feeling of being alive originates from that sexual impulse and then gets channeled or moved in different ways. And so like,
it got moved in some weird ways, buddy.
Yeah. However that gets channeled where you want to, you know, but that feeling of wanting to feel alive, right. And so, and so it gets back to that thing, you know, I think I mentioned that Stephanie episode of like, you get to the core of it. There's nothing to shame. There's that, like whatever the drive is, one, we're all fucking apes, monkeys wearing shoes.
Yeah. Like literally, you know, the stereotype where monkeys sit in the zoo and jerk off and shit into their hand. We're not that far away. Sorry. Okay. I didn't go ahead.
And in fact, if you like read Sex at Dawn, and he talks about like how sexual, like some of our primate species are, humans are more sexual than them. Like, so we say like, oh, like having sex, like, you know, like chimps or something. Humans are more sexual than chimps.
Yeah, exactly. We're like looking down our nose, like that horny monkey doesn't know right from wrong. And it's like, well, I don't know. Like I could see myself like getting bored and people are looking at me all day. So I develop some kind of voyeur kink and just let people watch me jerk off. Like, listen. I'm not very far away from doing that currently. So let alone like make me a monkey and put me in a zoo. I'll fucking do it by next week.
Hey, put me in a cage. Like, okay, this is my life now. And like, I'm going to put on a show as long as you guys are just looking at me.
Yeah. If this is my life, then everybody get ready to watch. Cause here goes, I'm not going back into the little like rectangle cement wall that they give me here at the zoo. I'm going to fucking go on display and be like, everybody look at this. This is what I'm up to.
And sorry, Doug, I don't mean to bring up a dream of yours, but
yeah, bring it up. I'm happy. Yeah.
A dream of yours like last night, wasn't I like having sex in your dream? And I was like, I forgot the way I phrased it in your dream, but I was like, you ever seen people fucking like this?
You ever seen sex like this before? Yeah. In the dream, we're being chased by like two big guys and a beautiful woman. And they catch up to us, and Mike decides that he's going to seduce the beautiful woman. Why these two like thugs, like these two goons of hers, like beat up on me, you know? So I'm getting beat up in the lobby of this hotel, while also in the lobby of the hotel, Mike is just taking her to town. Like they're just like, it's like the most vulgar dream I can remember in my adult life. And Mike's looking at me going, you ever seen sex like this before? And I'm like, no, frankly, I haven't.
Oh, man. I love that.
Dude, I'm kind of liking I'm kind of liking just sometimes, you know, because I do feel like there's the, I think it has to exist where we kind of have the ebb and flow of like being real serious. I would hate for us like next week when we're performing, we're going to play some serious stuff. Like we're going to get really into our feelings, you know, it's going to be like a, like, It's going to be like that feeling of like, oh, he's really emotional about this shit right now. But also, I hope we don't take it very seriously. Like, I hope we also like are, you know, cracking fart jokes and talking. Cause I like getting back to this stuff. You know, there's that line. I keep your, the lines from your songs they live rent free in my head. There's that line in one of your songs. It's Austin Nights where you're like, no, it's not Austin Nights. I think it's Starboy where you're like, the tears won't come cause you're sick of healing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that thing fucking hits because I'm just like, yeah, sometimes I think I'm faking it a little bit because I'm just sick of healing. Like, and so what I mean by that is like, you capture that really well where you're saying the tears won't come because you're sick of healing. And it's like, yeah, I'm trying my best, everybody. And I'm trying to get down with sickness and I'm trying to like be, you know, super into like vulnerability and connecting and like the universe is all one big old consciousness. And we got to be careful of all the people trying to like control us. But also I'm just like, I'm kind of sick of healing. So I'm faking some of these tears. Sometimes I feel that sometimes.
Doesn't it just get exhausting?
Yeah.
It is. And you know what, but in our show, it's going to be a good mix. Cause we've got some good irreverent songs. I mean, your song about Laman and Lemuel and then the Fairy King is going to come out and,
yeah, we're going to do like our originals. Like we're going to do some originals, but also we've got like a shitload of new, dude, I'm kind of pumped. We got a shitload of new songs that are so sick.
Yeah. And some of those do get a little, I mean, I wrote two of those songs are about my, well, maybe almost three, but two of them are about my breakup, my separation.
Yeah. I think it's three actually. I think three of those are about your breakup.
I think three of them are too. And if we're thinking about the right three or not, I don't know. But like,
do you want to say it out loud or do you want to keep
it? Yeah. So definitely Austin Nights and definitely Lady Death.
Yeah, dude. So is Nightingale. Like Nightingale. I know you're talking about how it's like about ancestors and so be it. It totally is, but it's also about your heartbreak for sure. Right.
It is. Oh, because I'm, you know, it, cause that song's evolved, right? At first it was much more about ancestors. And then it was like this, I got these images of the story of like this Irish couple and they fall in love and it's all bliss and this, and then she dies. And I'm sitting there with singing the song crying as it just, I've cried so much as I've been like writing and playing that song.
It is a beautiful song. Yeah.
But I'm crying so much cause I resonate with it so much. Cause it's also about, you know, my own feels about everything.
Yeah. I mean, one of mine is about heartbreak. You know, Mighty Fine is about heartbreak. But one of them, the one of mine that I'm liking the most right now is about like a journey that a lot, if somebody listens to this podcast, they're very aware of the time we did Syrian Rue and Mimosa like the weekend. And I brag about how I stopped cold turkey, you know, nicotine, like those nicotine, pouches and smoking cigarettes and that kind of stuff. Like I've stayed true to that. Like it's been a year and a half and I haven't had any nicotine, you know, but that was a pretty, that night was painful. And it also, I don't want to just sing the song here, but like that night was also about like, I guess that we're all part of a big, beautiful thing here, but also like, I'm hurting. Like I'm in a lot of pain and fuck you guys, you know, type of thing. So I don't know. I guess I'm just, I didn't mean to bring it back.
Are you talking about Made from Stars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that. I mean, you know, that song's about the Syrian Rue thing, but also, I don't mean to make this like a big plug for that night. I guess I'm just really excited for that night.
You know what? I'm okay making a big plug for that night because I think it ties into a larger theme, right? Where, here's where I think I want to go with it because, and maybe it's a reflection on our journey with the podcast over the last, 3.5, almost 4 years, and it's art crazy. And sharing and the resistance to share, you know, you know, ever since we started the podcast, I just did it as we were talking about Stephanie joining. I'm so good at deflecting to Stephanie, right? Yeah. Or we're deflecting to our guests or shining the spotlight on someone else. I've always been uncomfortable with the spotlight on me and my own expression and talking up my own songs and my own art. And, you know, I'm just, a lot of that comes from Mormonism, right? Yeah. Or like it's in the way we were raised. It's like, no, not my glory, but that glory be thine kind of deal. I mean, our model is Jesus and he's always shining the spotlight towards God. And that's probably part of it, but like this shows an evolution in our psychology and where we're going, where, you know, even the last performances we've done, it's like, okay, let's make sure we get Mountain Tribe to close for us. Let's bring other people on stage. Let's highlight other voices. And then as long as we're highlighting someone else, now we're okay to also take some stage time too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the first time. And the thing is why I'm so excited. It's like, no, we have these songs that we've written from our heart that are a reflection of us that I fucking love and I love sharing. And I'm so excited to share those. Now they might not be for everyone and some people might hate them. Some people might love them, but whatever. I know some people will love them because I love them.
Yeah.
And I don't need to get a headliner to deflect to. I'm okay with us saying, no, this is the price for the night, $22. It's not like pay what you can. It's like, this is the price of our art that for that night to come and experience our art and us and the vibe we're creating. Cause we're going to create, it's not just us sharing music. We're creating a vibe for the night.
Yeah.
And owning that and being like, look, we might not sell 60 tickets. And is that a reflection of our art or not? You know, it doesn't matter. We want to share something. And that feels so much better. And it's not deflecting, it's owning both the potential embarrassment and potential like ecstasy of art and sharing art. And I think that's a reflection of where we've come. And I think a lot of people who've listened to the podcast over the years are in their own way leaning into their art. And I just noticed, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to check with her. No, I'll say it. But I've noticed some other people like in our that I don't want to have to edit it out if she doesn't want it in it. You know,
I hear you. Yeah.
Starting to like really lean into their art and their expression and show their faces. And it's so, and they're inspiring me too. So it's like, we're all walking each other home.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think so. Yes, we're talking a lot about the show, but I think the show is reflecting something bigger and deeper in us and more universal.
This is so, this is not, I guess I don't need to get you to like validate that what I'm about to say, you do not know what I'm about to say. Like this is not like, we don't have like a plan and we don't come in with a script, but like, it's so interesting to me that you're talking about this and you're sort of like framing it through the lens of our Mormon upbringing. Mm-hmm. Because you know how sometimes, geez, again, I'm going to talk about music. You know how like mostly music is like playing music is just like, hey guys, here's some poetry that I've got that I want to like make my voice go up and down while I read you the poetry, right? That's basically what songwriting is. But, you know how sometimes you'll just sort of be like grooving to like a tune, like trying to find like a progression that you like, and you'll be singing like nonsense. You do that, right? I do that all the time.
Yeah, that's how I kind of start. Like I'll start with a tune or a line. And then a lot of times, I mean, songs I'm still doing this with, I have a tune and I just mumble nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I was doing that the other night and I haven't told you about this. I was doing that the other night and suddenly I started singing lines about basically about sort of like the, not even the Mormon, but like the Christian concept of, you know, thy will be done. And the whole method of prayer is essentially merging your will with the will of God, you know?
Yeah.
And in the nonsense that I was singing, I was kind of talking about how if like I'm merging my will, if it's thy will be done, then what is free will? The concept of free will is doesn't even make sense to me, because like I know that like somebody who is like super smart and way smarter than me would say, well, that's just it. That's the one thing that God has given us, is that our will, and we show our devotion, we show our gratitude, we show our dedication to the atonement by forsaking our will and merging it with the will of God, the will of the Father. Like, that's what Jesus did, right? He didn't want to, get crucified and all that stuff, but it was God's will. I call bullshit on that. If the only way for me to return to God is for me to forsake the one gift that he gave me, why the fuck did he give me that gift? What kind of gift is that? Like, oh, so I go around giving people gifts and I'm like, this only counts as a gift on your birthday if you give it right back to me, please. Thank you. I would love, this is actually what I've been looking for and I bought it for you, but I know you don't love me unless you give it back to me. BS, man. That's a total horseshit. That doesn't even make sense.
Imagine giving your kids a gift on
hey, Christmas kids, Merry Christmas morning. Here's all your gifts. Now, I know you don't really actually love me unless you give me these gifts back, because I bought them for you. I paid for them. They came from me, so you might as well give them back to me. What kind of terrible father is that?
And you get mad and throw a tirade when they don't give it back.
You're not giving me back those gifts. Fine. I'm flooding your bedrooms, and you're dead.
Christmas is canceled.
I don't get Christmas gifts anymore because I'm just the most I'm the most insecure, insincere, inconsiderate God that ever existed, is because I'm like, I hope my kids don't think they're anything cool. Like, I hope they know I'm better than them. I hope my kids know that I'm better than them. What? Pardon me?
It's like, good job, but you know I'm better,
Hey, I know, hey, listen, I loved going to your choir concert, but I don't know. Don't you think I'm a better singer than you are? Hey, you did a really good job this weekend at your volleyball tournament, but you'll admit that I'm the better athlete, right? And if you don't admit it, I'll know you're ungrateful and I will never talk to you again. I'm saying this to my 15-year-old daughter and she's like, excuse me? Yeah.
Dude, we all grew up with that narcissistic God image. I mean, that's how we believed God was.
That's what I thought God was.
Yeah.
I'd cry. I would cry telling Sunday school stories and sacrament meeting talks about the one thing I can give God is the gift he gave me. And then I'd start crying and about how grateful I am to Jesus about this atonement. But in all actuality, it's like if an alien landed and said, this is your main myth, like this is your main thing here on planet Earth, is that some God was like, hey, I love you so much that here's everything. Give it all back or else I hate you now. An alien would be like, this is the laziest screenwriting I've ever seen in my life.
This is very cathartic to talk about, because, I always do this thing where I'll look at other, maybe ex-Mormons and, or even more, I think in the Jack Mormon kind of vibe, right? Where I see now, for people who are listening, Jack Mormons are Mormons who still believe, but they just don't follow the rules. I think that would probably be the broad term for that type of Mormon. And think, oh, they still think the problem is them. Because I've been there too. All through my mission, I was depressed and anxious, but was like, but I'm the problem. Obviously I'm the problem. And having discussions like this reflects to me that, there's still ways where I still believe I'm the problem.
Yeah.
And, I don't have too much trauma because I was born of goodly parents. Well, I was born of goodly parents. My parents were great, but my God image, my heavenly parent, was an asshole.
Total asshole.
A narcissistic asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. Just skeevy. By the way, it occurs to me as we're talking that I think Jack Mormon actually means believing Mormons who drink beer, drink coffee, or smoke cigarettes. I kind of think that's what Jack Mormon might mean. I'm thinking about
Jack Daniels. Is that where it comes from? Maybe.
What's that?
Does it come from Jack Daniels, maybe?
Mormon? I wonder. Yeah, that's interesting. Because, honestly, Mike, I'm thinking about the people that I and my circles growing up referred to as Jack Mormons. Mm-hmm. I think that because non-believers are non-believers, right? People that don't believe, I think Jack Mormons were just people who I could smell their particular vice. They couldn't smell mine. I hope they couldn't smell mine, you know.
They couldn't smell your cum. No, that's already in the toilet, man. That's already.
Yeah, I'm covering that up with all sorts of different smells, you know.
But by the way, I even hate calling masturbating in a bathroom a vice.
Well, but I considered it a vice at the time. That's the point of me. I currently don't consider that a vice, and I encourage everyone, if you're listening at work, go jerk off. Yeah. Or go flick your bean or whatever it is everybody else is doing. Yeah.
It'll be really clear for your next meeting.
Yeah. Can you imagine the good decisions you'd make if you had just, you know, dirty DJ'd or roughed up the old suspect before your meetings? Yeah. Man, I know this thing
we've been wanting to invest in forever, that like I've been trying to encourage us all to take this step. You know what, you guys, we don't need this anymore. Let's go in a different direction. Turns out I was just horny.
You all seem really riled up about this new project or new partnership. What if we just didn't do it? Like, what if we just didn't do that at all? It would be fine. We would save a shitload of money. Everybody's
Have you been advocating for this partnership for months?
I have been, but I just beat off. And so now I just don't feel like we need to go that hard for it.
Is there a, cause we were talking about the show and then you brought it to Mormon God.
Yeah. So, well, the point that I was making is you were talking about putting somebody else in the spotlight. You were talking about making sure everybody else gets the glory, making sure somebody else gets the credit, which is very much the plan of salvation, which is very much the concept of not my will, but thine be done, you know, type of thing. And it's so deep. It's so deep inside of us that even, you know, after 4 years of, geez, I mean, it's been how long? I mean, we've been doing drugs for longer than that. But after 4 years of a podcast talking about being no longer Mormon and doing psychedelic drugs, we still are kind of like, oh, is it okay if we throw a fun little like music night and we're the thing? Like, is it okay if you come to listen to us sing? Like, I'm still feeling that. Even though we're talking about it right now, I still feel that way.
Yeah. Is it okay if we're the show, if we're the draw,
if I don't have someone else to give the credit to, am I even worthy of doing this? You know?
Yeah.
And shit, man. We already have a number of people coming that is amazing to me. I can't wait. I'm already pumped about it. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, so many that it's like, okay, I do want to encourage people that if you want to come, like, you know, I hate to do that thing, like buy tickets soon, but really like we can only fit 60 people in the venue.
Yeah. So,
like,
it's going to be a small crowd and we're going to be sitting and we might be chilling and we might be, you know, you might move your ass a little bit. I don't know. Like there might be some opportunities for that. I hope you're moving your ass a little bit. There's like very specifically. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to move and groove, man.
Does it sound like I'm just like blatantly flirting with you? I guess maybe I am. I'm not trying to like make you feel uncomfortable. I'm just saying like for what we're specifically talking about, as far as like performance and production wise, I do think that it would add value to the thing if you shook your ass a little bit.
You know what, Doug? I actually find that I kind of, it's a maybe a kink for me for like to be admired and to be wanted. You know,
there you go.
In fact, I'm going to share this story. So, you know, I've been like my dating app experience has been very meh, and it's mostly because like on Hinge out here in LA, I get all the matches on Hinge, but it's all these people who, and I've already talked about this, like who are just like, I don't know, it feels like the same women just in different forms. Yeah. And they all are, you know, middle-aged like me, looking for their eternal companion now. And I'm like, wait, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm sorry.
I don't want some eternal companion.
But for some reason, I have so much success like matching on Hinge. Meanwhile, there's like this app called Field, F-E-E-L-D, which is more like alternative. Like, you know, there's kink, which I'm not familiar with. Oh, and there's open, open relating. There's also just regular, that was probably a bad term, but like just monogamous or heterosexual connections and stuff. And I find the most real people on Phil, like the people seem just authentic and real and feel like they've lived life and feel like they like to explore psychedelics and some of the things that we like to do, right? And are a little more witchy. There's a lot more witches on Phil.
Yeah, man.
But because maybe it's like very sex positive app, the ratio of men to women is just not like, so I don't match with them. Even though I'm finding like, oh, this would be a great person to match with. They don't match back. And so I was feeling it one day and I was like, you know what? Well, so I changed my profile to pansexual for a minute. And I have no idea where I'm in the sexual spectrum. I've never had any experience with dudes. And I don't know. We don't need to get into that in this podcast. But what I did love is that the next day yeah. I had 80 matches, 80. And a handful of pings where they spend the money to like ping you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, from dudes. Yeah, and dude. I was like, oh, okay, I felt the love. And then I switched it back to heteroflexible is what I have it on right now.
Okay, yeah.
Which is like, I think it's kind of like, look, I'm mostly interested in women, but like if in the right scenario, right situation, like sitchy, I could maybe kind of vibe. Yeah. And I feel like that's feels the most right for me at the moment, but like it was fun to get some love.
Dude, I kind of love that story a lot. Like I love the idea of you flick that one switch and suddenly it's just like you're having the experience. Like you're having like a 24-hour, you know, it's like Body Swap or Freaky Friday or one of those type of things where you're having an experience of like what it must be like for women on those apps of just like thirsty, horny dudes just being like, what up? Let's fucking make something happen. Like, come on. You know, I power to you, Mike. Those apps are terrifying. Like, I don't think I could ever, like, first of all, this is not, what I'm about to say is not, what I'm saying is don't try to like, don't try to build my ego. I know who I am. Okay. I am not a charming photogenic app guy. Now, I think that me in person is someone who is to be reckoned with. I think that in person, I bring a lot of love and energy to the field.
Well, I'll say one thing with that. You are not photogenic.
Yeah.
But there are good photos of you. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, like they have to be. There are a few good photos of me, but they're always like, they have to be candid because mm-hmm. when I pose, I look like a fucking Yeti that just emerged from the woods. It's like, I'm going to eat everybody in this picture. Like,
you that's get this what I look in like. The headlights look, you don't know what to do with your hands.
I never, yeah, it's bad. I mean, you were up here and we had some photos taken for some things and I just don't like, I look like I just got out of rehab. Like I look like, boy, we're all rooting for Doug. He's been really struggling lately, but that's what I look like in photographs.
Maybe but then I know of a few that it's capturing your vibe. Like there's a couple that like at solstice when you got the hat, I'm like, oh damn, this is Doug. So it's like, yeah.
But it's definitely a thing, man. Like and we've talked about this before and it's not a thing that makes me worried about it, but like, maybe that is also what I look. I mean, maybe what we look like in photos is what we look like in real life. I know people who I think, wow, they're not very photogenic. I think I'm one of those people. So I'm fine with that because whatever happens in real life, I think people like me. Like I think I'm pretty magnetic. Mm-hmm. But dude, I'm telling you right now, like it's the bravery thing that I'm trying to compliment you on here. Like the courage of, first of all, I'm happy to talk. Do you want to talk about like you putting pansexual on there or do you want to just skip that for now and not?
No, we can talk about that. Yeah. I mean, I think part of like leaving Mormonism and like after 20 years of that, I'm kind of like, I don't know where I fall on the spectrum. And I feel like it's so much more of a spectrum than I don't think it's like 90% of the world is straight and 10% is LGBTQ. I think it's like, we're all on this spectrum. And I don't know where I fall on it. You know, I know that like when I go to the beach, I don't check out guys at the beach. But I do know it felt good to like get some pings from guys. I'm like, oh, okay. And I do think that like if I was in a situation, maybe this is too much to share in the pocket, whatever. It's like if I was in a situation where there's another female in the room, I could get down with another naked man. You know what I mean? Like in a threesome situation, like two men and a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I could get down and really enjoy and not just be like, enjoy the sexuality of both. But I feel like for me now where I'm at, I don't think just me and another dude would do it for me. In fact, but I don't know. Never had that experience, but yeah.
That's interesting for me because like let's see here. I love looking at dudes' bodies. Like you talked about going to the beach. Like, I love it. I'm like, well, I like kind of looking at everybody's bodies. And in fact, we were at a place with our kids a little while ago that had, quite a lot of nudity, like quite a lot of like natural people, nudity type thing. Mm-hmm. And I told my wife and kids, like, I don't know what it is, but like, if there is a dick out, I gotta look, I gotta check it out. I gotta see what he's working with. Like, I gotta, you know what I mean? Like for me, Brad Pitt's shirtless body in like Fight Club is like the greatest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I am checking out dudes. Yeah. But here's the kicker for me. I think that I've tried the thing of feeling well, I've left the church and I'm so open-minded and I'm this, mm-hmm. like, should I try to like be more open-minded? Cause I just don't have a sexual attraction, dude. I just, you know, I've got a few good friends who are super, super gay mm-hmm. and have tried to like, you know, maybe flirt with me or, even just sort of like, you know, sometimes there's that unwelcomed physical touch that's a little more than it's a little more than like, oh, hey, I love you. You're great. Yeah. Hugging. Yeah. It's just like, oh, this is a little too tender for my tastes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting how, you know, you talked about how everybody's on this like spectrum and the definition is different for every single person. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like literally, Mike, if I'm at a beach, I'm looking over here to see what this guy's body looks like. Does he have muscles? Is he skinny? Is he kind of chubby? Like what's working? I'm looking over here to see what she's working with. Is she skinny? Is she muscular? Is she bigger? I'm looking at everybody and kind of loving it. But like intimacy with that, with men, it's just, I can't, it's like, I've tried to be like, okay, be open to that. But I'm just, it's just not there for
me. I mean, we're speaking a lot the same with that in a way. Cause like, I feel like when I was talking about like, okay, two dudes and a woman. Yeah. But then I don't know if I want to have coffee with the guy or cuddle with him afterwards. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh yeah, my gosh, I almost did a spit take, man. I took a drink of Fresca right as you said that. And I almost, God, my nose is kind of burning after you said that. I don't want to have coffee with him or cuddle.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, like, well, it's like, I'm not, and there's no draw to kiss a man. You know what I mean? Where it's like, a thing for me is I just love kissing. Like,
oh yeah,
I could just be like, I could just kiss a face for like, in fact, I think a kink for me is having a woman just talk and me just kiss her face.
Really? Talks. Is that right?
Yeah, is that weird kink?
Well, it's not a weird kink. I've never told me that before. Really?
Yeah, it's just like I love it when they're just chatting and speaking what's on their mind, and I'm just like kissing their face.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think that's a deal for me. And then, but I also think pansexual, like, it doesn't resonate with me because there's a term. Have you heard the term demisexual? Mm-mm. It's where you don't feel much of a sexual attraction until there's an emotional connection.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then there's also sapiosexual, which is like a mental stimulation. Yeah, I really resonate with both of those, where it's like, it's hard for me to really feel a sexual attraction until I've established an emotional attraction, a connection.
Yeah.
And I found that like the, and mental stimulation, And I found if both of those things are there, the physical features mean so much less. If there's like that emotional connection and mental stimulation, now whatever package they're in or working with, it's like, oh, I'm into, and I want to see that naked.
Wow, that's so interesting. I've heard of sapiosexual. I've never heard of demisexual. Demisexual?
But the only thing about demi that throws me off is it almost sounds like it's borderline asexual, and I'm not asexual. I'm very sexual.
It didn't sound asexual to me. You just said that.
Well, when I read about it, the way I'm describing it might not be exactly how the term is, though.
Okay.
Because I think when I look it up, it tends to seem more border asexual, and I don't know. I just find that like I need that connection.
Isn't that funny? Like as you're telling that, like this is interesting how people are different. Like as you're telling that, like God, I'm admitting a lot of shit about myself today. Yeah. The little guy in my head, like the little voice in my head, is kind of going, "Why would you want to have an emotional connection with someone you're about to fuck?"
But see, I think maybe this is where it's like differences in sexuality. Because like for me, it's like, but until I have that, it's like I almost don't feel the desire to. And that's not a, because I think if you look at it through like a religious lens, that could look as more pure, but it's not. I think it's just a different type of sexuality. And it's without judgment. There's no judgment in either one. I think just, and maybe it stems from trauma, right? Maybe there's a trauma thing of like attachment, but whether it was birthed in trauma or not, it's my experience of it is that I have a really hard time feeling horny for someone, like desiring someone, lusting after them.
Yeah.
Unless there's like, I'm lusting after like something like that spark in them.
Man, that's cool. Yeah.
It's like, here's an example.
I love that. Yeah.
Did you watch the eclipse yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. We only had like 35-40% kind of coverage. So Yeah, so
this is my point with it. Cause like I put on those glasses and I'm looking at, you know, the moon cover the sun, and it's covering about, I think it was like 49% here in California. And you know what? I mean, it looks like just a little speck. Like it's almost like you're looking at this black computer screen and seeing, you know, if you strip it down to the image, it's not that impressive. But the fact that you're watching these two celestial bodies, like the moon in front of the sun, it's like, holy shit, this is awesome. You know what I mean? That's kind of like what I feel with sexuality. It's like a naked image doesn't do it as much for me. It's like, what's behind that? What's lighting that image up? That's like, oh damn, that's what makes it like, that's what I go kind of crazy for.
Wow. That's a really good analogy. I love that. Wow. How funny.
I'm loving where this conversation has gone.
Same, dude. I want to ask.
Is this the most vulnerable we've gotten, though?
This is among the most vulnerable we've gotten. It's funny, as we're talking, I'm actually even just sitting here, you know, considering, like a good medium for this would be like movies, film, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm considering, like as soon as I think of like what's the sexiest stuff that like jumps out to me. Bro, I gotta be honest with you. Like the stuff I can think of off the top of my head, first and foremost, I think forever and ever will be Catherine Zeta-Jones in Entrapment, like, you know, dipping around the lasers and like going up and down and bending over and all that kind of stuff. Like that image is burned into my brain. Okay. Also like that music video, Wicked Game, where Chris Isaac is out there frolicking with the chick on the beach in black and white. I love that. You need to YouTube that as soon as we're done here.
Okay. Yeah.
Fiona Apple, Criminal, that music video. But what I was trying to say was I already confessed to Brad Pitt in Fight Club. And then I also think about, like, you know, when Hugh Jackman in Wolverine comes up out of the, like, they would put in the adamantium into his bones, and he like comes up out of the water tank and he's like ripped as shit. I'm like, damn, man, what's going on here? Hell yeah. Thank you, Hugh Jackman. Or when Chris Evans in the very first Captain America movie, you know, he's a skinny cat that goes into the little beta gamma ray chamber, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Vitamin fucking chamber. And then he comes out and he's like, swole Chris Evans. I'm like, whoa, that, like, I'm with, I don't know if you remember in that movie, but the lady, God, what's her name? Haley Atwell, who plays Peggy. When he comes out, she like pats his pecs a little bit. You can tell that she's just like, I gotta, I'm like, same girl. I gotta feel what's up with those pecs.
It's interesting because so a friend came out at a visit the other day and I was doing, I was really doing, I know I've done, what is that? GHP?
2CB? Yeah. What is that stuff? GHP?
I don't know. I guess it's all the rave in the tech community now. Like if you go to the Bay Area, everyone's doing G is what they call, you know, instead of, they don't drink anymore. They just do G. And I have this, I'd see why. Cause it's like, it was good little drunk vibe.
Yeah.
But like, it was kind of sexy. Like, and I was clear. My mind was clear. So I wasn't like foggy, like you get with alcohol. And it was sexy. It had like an MDMA sexiness to it. And we went to this, it was like on St. Patrick's Day, and we were at this one club, and it was like, you know, midnight energy on a 9 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, because it's St. Patrick's Day, and they had this DJ there in this club. And I'm just like, the guys are beautiful, the women are beautiful. Like, I was feeling this, and that's where I was kind of like, I don't know where I fall on the spectrum, because it was an attraction to guys, but the attraction was coming from a different place.
Yeah, same. It's like
it felt differently. It was a different type of attraction. Like I'm saying, it's not like the type that I just want to like kiss their face and their body and like, but like being close to them and being, I don't know, it was different. So it was kind of like exploring that. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's recognition of like honestly, like if somebody does like a cool like drawing, like if somebody does a cool painting, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, what a work of art. That's beautiful. I want to look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stick my dick in the fucking painting. Do you know what I mean?
Well, maybe on a Freudian level, maybe you do at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I haven't come across.
No, but I know what you mean.
I haven't come across a painting I want to fuck yet, but I'll let you know if that rolls up. Cause if that rolls up, I'm ready to, I've done some weird shit. You know, I fucked a couch, you know that. I'll fuck a painting. I don't care.
Yeah, there we go. And we're going to have some beautiful people there on.
That's your segue. Have I made you want? Oh, have I reached your limit of comfort, Mike, by telling you that I'm going to put my dick inside of the Mona Lisa? Is that what's going on here? You're like worried about art now?
I mean,
you're like, Doug's violating the art.
Well, is that what her expression is? Because Doug's dick's inside.
She's like, oh, something just happened. Like, you know, like the whole thing is like, she's not smiling. She's not frowning. The look on the Mona Lisa is that she has a secret. Her secret is that Doug just put his dick in her. She's like, whoa.
Oh boy.
Okay, everybody. I'm just kidding. I don't have consent from the Mona Lisa to, you know, penetrate her. So I'm not going to do it. It's just a funny little joke we're talking about, you know, having sex with art. That's the whole
thing. I think it's too late. We're canceled.
So. That's the punchline.
We had a good run. We're canceled and it's over. And
God, you know, finally. Oh, good. Okay.
No, it's like, whew, okay. Now we can just say whatever we want. Now we can really.
Man, did you notice that? Like, I grew like 4 inches taller when you said that. Yeah. Like, the weight on my shoulders suddenly came off and you were like, we're canceled. We're done. I'm like, yippity whippity. We're doing it.
I mean, isn't there something, wouldn't be so, something so free that if you were canceled, you're kind of like, oh yeah, I'm canceled. So might as well just speak whatever I fucking want to, because
yeah,
it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that level of freedom is pretty interesting. Cause you see it, like you see it out in the world. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And a perfect example is Emma Stone in Poor Things. I mean, to like circle back to that whole thing. Like, I think I don't know, but I would guess that it's probably, there's probably some stigma to an A-list actress getting as sexy and naked as she does in that movie, right? There's probably something. It doesn't happen, right? There's like, keep the mystery alive, or people don't pay for that. Like, whatever it is, I'm pro anything anybody wants to do. But I would assume that there's probably a stigma in Hollywood for her to do that, and she just like, she's like flaunting it. Like she, dude, there's got to be like so much freedom in that. Do you know? Like, I'll bet she feels so much freedom in that. That's cool. I think that's a really cool thing.
And I'm guessing a lot of people advise her not to take the part, you know, agents and whatever. And I think it reflects in the performance of like, because she is like, so fuck it all. This is what I want to do. And this is, I want to be a part of this story and express. It comes through in the performance. And so it makes, that's why I resonated so much with the movie, because it was like this reverse way of how we were raised, where it's like, look, if it feels good and it feels good to you, you're not hurting anyone. Like, and that's why I love how we've been vulnerable in this discussion, because there's something so freeing about. So I was reading something the other day. It was in this Hillman book called Healing Fiction, and how therapy is art. Therapy is storytelling. And really what someone's coming into a therapeutic setting and is like, I'm healing from Mormonism, this, this, and this, they're really sharing with you their containing narrative, their myth that's containing them, that's keeping them going, but they're struggling with it. Mm-hmm. So the art of the therapist is to help them work a new story. It's a fiction, just like the other one's a fiction, and not fiction is that it's untrue, but it's seen from a certain lens and a certain perspective. And I forgot how that was tying back.
Tying back to the freedom of living your truth, the freedom of being vulnerable. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. It's this thing of like, okay, if I can just get back to my true self. And I think Mormons, we have this big, because we were raised with like the one truth. If we can just get back to what is true, what is the truth? What really happened with Joseph Smith? What really happened with me? What's my true story? What's my true essence? You realize that, oh, Mike has so many different shades. And part of the fun of being in this world is to try on the different masks and lean into them. Try this mask for a bit and be like, okay, that was kind of there. Then, well, but how about this mask? How about this one? And not have any of the labels stick. You know, it's kind of like this thing of like, you know, I changed my profile to pansexual. I don't know if that really fits. Demisexual, I don't know. But like, it's fun to try for a day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to mean anything about who I am or a label. It's just, I want to express this in the moment, or this seemed like a curiosity that I wanted to do. And the freedom to put on a different persona, a different mask, and get on a stage with that mask for a bit. And then maybe it's like that one time you're like, oh, that was probably my last time wearing that mask, but it was a good night, you know?
Whoa, man, you're giving me like a, I feel like I'm having a minor revelation right now. Just a little tiny one for me. You know how sometimes through the trauma journey, like the therapeutic experience of coming face to face with, acknowledging or recognizing like kinks that come directly from the concept of reliving that trauma, even though we might say we don't like it, we don't want it. It's terrible that it happened. It's a thing that we sort of like seek out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how Mormonism unconsciously creates this almost like absolutism kink. You know what I mean? Like this thing of like, no, you know, when you were talking about how if I could just get to the truth of what happened with Joseph Smith, if I could just get to the truth of what happened with me, it's like that concept of, there is a very narrowly defined, specific, direct truth, and everything else is a lie. It's this absolutism thing where it happens to me occasionally with friends and family who, anything that points to me leaving the church as having a negative impact on my life is what in the data analytics field they would say is informational variables, like the most informational variables, you can see like Doug did this terrible, made this stupid thing when he was drunk, and it's because he was drinking, and he was drinking because he's no longer Mormon, and it can be tied back to that one absolute truth. Whereas all of the other variables, all of the other informed data that would point to me having a pretty good intentions and actually acting on them and being a fairly decent human being or whatever that even means, like being a very sincere human being, that can be easily dismissed because it doesn't fit the narrative of their of that absolutism kink. Dude, I don't know if I'm making any sense right now, but this is like blowing my mind right now.
But it also shows why they have a hard time accepting that, because look at how the sun's reflecting back.
Yeah, dude, you look like the Lord himself coming down for the second coming. Like, I'm like, wait, what's going on here?
Here's what the Lord saith right
here,
now.
Put your head just like right behind that for a second. Let me see if I can get a halo on you. Like, now duck down just a little more. Yeah. A little more. A little more. No, it's not working. And you need to go back to the, yeah. Oh, there we go. Now it's better. Yeah.
Okay. Now I lost what I was going to say.
Because I was talking about the absolutism thing and.
And so you can see why I think part of quote unquote healing is getting so much less rigid in our ego identification of ourself. Yeah. But I think we can hold space and be aware of people who are clinging desperately to the iron rod as their narrative that they believe is keeping them sane and functioning and healthy and happy. And that's what they believe. And so you now represent something that's causing that the iron rod to like shimmer a little bit, you know, like it's getting hot now.
Yeah.
And it's challenging their narrative that's keeping their psyche intact. And so of course they're going to stick to the rigid interpretation of you and not see the multiple dimensions of Doug, because they're like, I think part of healing is accessing this fluidity of like, oh, I can do this one day, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to do this every day, or it doesn't mean that that's who I am now, or it's just something I did, and then I went and took a shower afterwards, and I'm fine, you know?
Yeah, yes.
And washed off. I went and played in the mud, and then I washed the mud off, and, you know, here I am, and now I'm ready to play again in a different way or whatever. And
God, yeah, that reminds me of when we talked to the sex worker. Can't remember the name that we used when we talked. V, right?
V, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she kind of talked about how, like, symbolically and also physically, after every interaction, she showers off and like clears herself of that of that energy. And it's not like this thing that defines her forever. It's just that thing that was the thing that she was doing for the last 45 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's so beautiful. I, man, this is like good stuff for me. The absolute, speaking of absolutism, Mike, don't we absolutely want people to come to something chill on a Friday night?
Absolutely. I can get 100% on board with that, man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you're listening to this and you're on the fence, what are you on the fence for? Like, it's going to be, look, and I say this in all, like, it's going to be one of the best nights of your life. Is that overselling it?
Absolutely.
That's not overselling it. It's going to be a good night.
Absolutely. So should we provide the, is there like a link in the show notes?
Oh yeah. So the link in the show notes. So we're going to be at Bountiful at Infusion Studios.
Infusion Yoga Studio.
Yeah. Yoga Studio. So the address is in the show notes. The link to the Eventbrite, $22. It'll take you to Eventbrite. And all the details are there. I still don't know details about like, people are allowed to like bring their own like drinks and stuff, and we'll put that.
Yeah. I like water for sure. I mean, people can bring, you know, water and that type of thing. I don't know how they would feel about like, alcohol, like beverages, just for the sake, I don't think they care about, but I just think for the sake of like spilling and messes and what kind of licensing. So we can check into it and find out.
Okay. But regardless, like, yeah, come bring yourself and it's going to be a good vibe. And so it's a Friday
and
night.
Certainly you could consume something that would help you, enhance and peak through the experience, as we're going to be going down sort of like an altered breath work type of experience, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And feel free to come in whatever mask you want to wear for the night. And
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, if you want to come as if you want to show up as Brad Pitt shirtless from Fight Club, you're more than welcome. Absolutely welcome. Just don't expect me to, you know, kiss you.
But I will probably rub your pecs.
Yeah, I gotta check out what's going on. Well, for sure.
With consent, of course.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's funny. All right.
Okay.
Stop it there, I think.
Yeah, I'll see you in a week, man.
Yeah, see you there. Now give it. Now, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's actually come up with an identity. Like, what's the name of the identity that you're going to read this one as?
His name is Cool Joe.
Cool Joe, baby. Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen.
The first name that came to me when you said that was Patrick, but I want to read it as Patrick.
Dude, I'll do it as Patrick. You do it as Cool Joe.
Okay.
You ready?
Maybe you start it and I'll do the next part.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. As a reminder, the very best way to support this podcast is to just head on over to patreon.com/Mormons on Mushrooms.
There you're going to find bonus content, fun episodes, other shit.
Girl, we're talking about shit you have not heard before.
Never. Mankind has never heard these things before. So go on over to Patreon. But we'd also love it if you gave us a review. Just head over to Apple and give us a quick love over there. Quick love. Quickie.
Just a little bit of love on Apple. Listen, if you're listening on Spotify, that's cool too. Put up a 5-star if you liked it. If you didn't, keep your mouth shut.
Just maybe put up a whoa, yo, Flavor Country.
We love Flavor Country. By the way, Mike and I also accept just free pure money, and you can do that at Venmo. Mike, hit him with the deets.
Just put them in our pocket. Just give us some money at Mushmore, Mushmor on Venmo, and we'll use it to buy some kombuchas. Just have a good time.
Mushmor. What up? Peace.
Give a fucking yes.